This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
But right now, Cole Kublick joins us from Three Man Front, the SEC Network, ESPN, and all over the place. Cole, first off, congratulations from all of us. We all saw social media yesterday where you jumped out and said baby number three is on the way for you and the family.
Thank you. I am equally excited and terrified.
Well, you sounded exhausted right then when you said that. Thank
you. It's midseason.
Thank you.
You keep pushing, you might get a basketball team.
No, we're going to stick with the three-kid front. I think that's going to be us. We're going to be good.
You want a boy or a girl? You've got one of each.
You know, we're not going to find out. We found out first two, and this is going to be a surprise. And I really have no preference.
Yeah. So party of five.
I'm excited either way. Yeah, it's going to be fun. We've got everything we need. So
we don't have to throw a shower for you? Is that what you're telling us?
If you guys wanted to just, like, stock us up with diapers, I think we'd be cool with that. But, okay. Yeah.
So a diaper party.
Let's do it.
I tell you what, we'll put a bus on Highway 280.
That seems to work for that organization.
It really does.
Yeah, they fill it right up.
I feel like Lance would take the diaper party out of context and may show up.
In a diaper.
Oh, I totally misunderstood.
Yeah. Maybe with some
My
friends
bad.
In tow. So,
okay, so listen,
that could be bad.
Listening to Three Man Front yesterday, 10-2 here on Jocks and on the Ump in Huntsville, you get a little animated at one point with guest Mike Griffith. About the blame on the Georgia offensive line or on Georgia's coaches or everywhere else but Jake Fromm. Explain to me where you think the blame should go for that and how much of it do you think was the quarterback Jake Fromm?
Well, I just felt like there was minimal blame for Jake Fromm in that loss. And the narrative that I saw, and this is a dangerous place to go, I understand that, was on social media, was that the offensive line just got destroyed. And I will preface this with Javon Kinlaw got his. He had 5, 8, 7 dominant plays in that game where he affected the play and ruined some plays. There was a missed assignment that led to a tackle for loss. Andrew Thomas got beat in pass pro one time. But you're talking about a football team, Jim, that ran 95 plays. And I think a lot of people are taking 8, 10, 12 of those plays and creating a narrative as to what happened for four quarters. I'm not going to allow that. And I've gone back and I've watched it 3 or 4 times, and that's not what I saw. I tweeted out in the middle of the second quarter, Georgia offensive line came to play, because what I'm watching is not one guy getting beat on one play. I'm watching consistent movement in double teams. I'm watching offensive guards climb to the second level. I'm watching DeAndre Swift go for 12, go for 7, go for 4, go for 9, go for 8. Now, it's not their fault that they get away from that. And it's not their fault that all of a sudden they try to live and die with perimeter throws. And it's also not their fault that when they pass protect and Jake Fromm goes through his progressions and then goes through his progressions again and then for some reason doesn't know where to deliver the football, that's not on the offensive line. It's not their fault that he didn't pull a single zone read in that entire game. And T-Rob did exactly what he did to Kentucky in blitzing backside defenders to come flat down the line of scrimmage and be able to make plays on cutback runs. So when you dissect it just a little bit more, and don't be completely lazy like some of the guys in the press box that day when people were trying to send those to me and tag me in those, saying that some beat writer was saying that the Georgia offensive line was getting knocked on their ass the whole game. I'm not buying it. So that was my frustration. When I see a quarterback that I feel like is getting a little bit cute and coming to the line of scrimmage feeling like he's got to be Peyton Manning on every play instead of just running the play, and then he fumbles a snap and he sits there and watches the football on the ground.
Doesn't dive for it.
Along with some of the interceptions that took place. Now, is it all on Jake Fromm? Absolutely not. The offensive line had breakdowns. The receivers dropped balls. I didn't think the play calling was great. The plan wasn't phenomenal. He had a kicker that some people say is the best kicker in the country. I guess if you know about that and can decipher that, good for you. But he missed 2 big kicks. So there are a lot of things that happened that led to Georgia losing that game. But I'm not going to go back and study something and see something that I believe in and then allow people to say that's the sole reason that football team got beat, because it's not.
Cole Kublick in studio with us. He's always brought to you by J.D.'s Market Spirits, currently featuring proper number 12 triple distilled Irish whiskey. Go by J.D.'s, shop their large variety of beer, wine, and spirits, along with all your basic party needs. If you're heading in Tuscaloosa for Tennessee, Alabama this weekend, make sure you stop in to J.D.'s Market Spirits. The sky is not falling when it comes to Georgia. They've still sitting at number 10. They're 5-1. If they win out, obviously they'll be in the 14 playoff. But where are you on Georgia moving forward?
I have my concerns. Number one is play calling. Number two would be, I think, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong with you, but I think most of us sort of thought, Lance, that Georgia was this team that could walk in the room and hit the light switch and become a team that scored 45 points a game if they wanted to. That Jake Fromm could just start going fast and he could start pitching it around. And if they wanted to be that team, they could be that team, but they were going to try to be balanced and they were going to try to control the clock and protect the defense. I think the one thing about Georgia that's a real positive that we're completely bypassing is the defense is really good. Defense played well enough to win that football game. Yep. There's no question about that. And they have been great against the run. They still only allowed one rush. I think no rushing touchdowns this entire season.
I mean, really, the defense gave up 10 points in four quarters.
They haven't given up a rushing touchdown all year. They
played well against Notre Dame.
Yeah, they've played good football. So I think we had concerns about that side of the ball. Tyler Clark's playing good ball. So they're getting enough on that side. I just wonder if offensively, are they going to be able to be explosive enough? And then are they really going to commit to the run game for a four-quarter football game like I think that they should and then build off of that?
But how are they not explosive with how he's recruiting? That's what doesn't make any sense because
it goes back to the plan and the play calling. And it's getting away from certain things at certain points and times, and it's not mixing and matching your plays to where you're going to allow yourself to be explosive. And I'll say this, and listen, I don't know this for a fact. This is my opinion. Watching this and being around that program some and talking to people there, we did have them earlier this year. I think there are times when Jake Fromm does too much. That's just my opinion. Because I think if you can go, and DeAndre Swift can go hit for, go look at the plays, go to play-by-play in the box score. You can look at it. It's easy. And go look at the second down situations that they were in the first two quarters of that game. It's second and four, second and three, second and five. Those are your shot plays.
Yeah.
How many shots did they take? I didn't see any. It's all perimeter throws and quick and easy stuff. So you've got to marry your players up a little bit better moving forward. So can they be in the playoff? Yeah, absolutely. They have enough talent to do it. And I do think there's a little bit of a chemistry issue up front because they haven't played the same five very much. They've been sort of beat up, but they have the talent to plug new guys in.
Alabama's offensive line combo they rolled out Saturday was injury dictated, but my untrained eye saw the best offensive line Alabama had had all season. Was I wrong about that?
No, I thought they looked good. I didn't see a misassignment from Evan Neal, and that has been the number one issue with him. He looked great in pass protection. He obviously, when he gets his hands on you, is going to move you. Landon Dickerson handled everything at center exactly the way that you would expect him to. And Deontay Brown is a big, powerful guy at right guard. I mean, it is a – you want to talk about, you know, setting the point of the pocket. That is a big middle three of an offensive line. So,
and you can get a handle on Tua Saturday.
Yeah, Tua to be able to step up and have that room and that comfort to be able to jump up in the pocket and be able to complete throws, especially over the middle, that's going to be a great place for you to be. And obviously you'll get the movement in the run game. And I think that did aid the run game greatly in that football game because that's a pretty good defensive front.
Yeah.
I mean, Bobby Brown and Matabike and Michael Clemens, those are good football players. So it would not surprise me if that's the combination that they stick with moving forward.
They, too, actually complimented Dickerson on calling the pass protection there. Do you have a problem him winning that job sort of in an injury situation, or do you think it was trending that way anyway?
No, because I think Chris Owens had gotten better the last two times we saw him. He really struggled against Duke and did not have a great game against South Carolina, but I thought he was improving, and I do think he's a little bit more athletic, and he's able to climb to the second level a little bit more and do some different things. So I think he may be a better fit with Dickerson at guard. The trump card and all that is Deonte Brown being back. So now he becomes one of your best five. You got to get your best five on the field.
Yeah.
So now, even if Dickerson's a little bit more limited than Chris Owens at center, but there are some things that he adds that Chris Owens doesn't, you sacrifice that or you trade that for the power that you get with Deonte Brown, the experience and the athleticism you get with Deonte Brown. So I think Coach Flood is a best five guy where he just wants to find a way to get his best five linemen on the field. Some guys aren't like that. Some guys are, I got two left tackles, I got two left guards, right. I got two centers, I got two right guards and two right tackles, and the next one goes in. Now, with recruiting and guys leaving early and transferring, you're rarely able to really do that anymore. You got to have guys who can be kind of what Austin Golson was at Auburn a couple years ago that, hey, I lost my left tackle. Okay, you're going to move from center to left tackle. My backup left guard's got to go to center because he's our next best option there. And that's how you get some of these three-for-one trades when guys get injured. But that lineup that I saw on the field Saturday afternoon looked pretty good.
A lot of football to be played, but this is a realistic scenario. So play this forward with me. Wisconsin, Ohio State end up splitting. So somebody loses regular season, somebody wins the rematch.
Remind me of Wisconsin's non-con again, because I know Ohio State's non-con is terrible.
South Florida, Kent State.
Better than Ohio State's, though.
And Central Michigan.
But you got to also tell me who wins the Big Ten championship game.
Okay, so let's just say this. Wisconsin loses in Columbus, but Wisconsin beats them in the Big Ten championship. LSU loses one possession game in Tuscaloosa, their only loss. Who's getting that?
LSU. The Texas win puts them over the hump. And I think the conference schedule would be better for LSU. And I think
– So LSU is non-champion.
Yeah, non-champion getting
over,
in.
Over Big Ten champion.
That would be – that's a – and leave it to Lance Taylor to bring up
a
scenario.
I know, but it's realistic.
No, listen, I'm not mad at you. I'm saying you and Jim both do it. Sorry, Ryan, I'm not trying to leave you out. But Jim and Lance do really good jobs of bringing up scenarios that you think you know the answer to, and then you're kind of like, hold on, let me – process that. Here's the dangerous part
I'm
of that.
Over here watching golf instruction.
Here's the dangerous part of that is I know what I think, but then you circle back and you try to think, what would the committee think?
Right.
And the committee, they're not going to be instructed to, but I think based on what they've been told and why they've been put there, they're going to value that Big Ten championship game a lot. But there's no way, if that happens, what you said, there's no way that you can sit in that room and say that you believe Wisconsin is a better football team than LSU, in my opinion.
Wisconsin's the defense is amazing. Line, where are they?
Right now, number one in the nation.
I mean, that's a pretty good combination. When you've got Jonathan Taylor, you've got that offensive line, and you got that defense.
Tyler Biadasz is the best center in college football, and they have probably the second-best right tackle in college football behind Jedrick Wills. The kid at Wisconsin will be behind Jedrick Wills as my midseason All-American right tackle, but Jedrick Wills will be first team.
All right, he's Cole Kubelik. You can hear him every single day, three-man front, right when we're finished, and see him on ESPN and the SEC Network. He's presented each week by JD's.
JD's Market and Spirits, currently featuring that proper number 12, triple distilled Irish whiskey. They're located 1400 Paul Bryant Drive in Tuscaloosa for all of your basic party needs, beer, wine, and spirits. Make sure you stop in if you're heading to Tennessee this weekend and see our friends at JD's Market and Spirits.
Good luck to your Yankees this afternoon.
I think they'll be all right. Listen, game two, that's Verlander, and you go to extra innings.
That's right.
You can't be disappointed with that.
Was that a nice walk-off from Correa, though?
Now you face their ace, though.
Do you know I thought he fouled that ball off?
Well, I just
had a weird reaction.
It looked like that.
I was like, does that guy know he just hit that hole?
I know.
That ball's going out of the park. And, like, I thought he fouled it off. That was pretty good. So I can't be mad at that.
Wait till you see a little Garrett Cole today. He's due to have a bad game at some point. He hasn't lost since May.
Well, now that since you said that, he probably won't.
No hitter.
He has been really good.
Yeah.
But he's in the boogie down, so that's a different place.
Follow the show on Instagram @JocksRoundtable.